Good morning. Super happy to see everyone this morning. If you've got a chance, bust open your bulletins there. Let's take a look at a couple things. Let me give you some dates. If you've got a calendar, mark some dates. All right, here's a pretty important one. I guess I should say they're all important, but this is one that's due today. If you have someone in your family that is going to attend youth camp at Crossings, today's the day for the deposit, right? See Raphael, put it in the offering plate. Somehow get that turned in today. Today's the day, all right? Also, next week, we as a church have another opportunity. It comes up every month to serve at Dining with Dignity, right? So you'll see there, we are asking for some help with some brownies, right? And so maybe you're not able to go serve at Dining with Dignity. Maybe your Saturdays, you have something going on Saturdays. That's understandable. But you can still help and serve in this way and make some brownies, right? The brownies are always a big hit. Side note to that is several of the members who go every Saturday aren't going to be going with us next Saturday. So if you've ever had any inclination, like, you know what, I'd like to go see what that looks like, this would be the Saturday to go. Right, because as of right now, I only know of four of us that are going, right? So the more of you who want to go, the better, right? And I'm sure that number's a little bit off, but that's the ones that have said to me they are going, right? So we have that. Second, this is a super important one too. April 10th, we're going to be having our, I'm going to call it resurrection egg hunt because I'm doing my best to not use the word Easter anymore. But we're going to run around and look for eggs and hopefully have chocolate in them so your kids can go home all hyped up on chocolate, right? So that is happening April 10th. That's funny for me because I don't have to take my kids home hyped up on chocolate anymore, right? So April 10th, join us. It's going to be right after the service. We're going to do that. It's going to be an exciting time, right? Let's see here. We have the ark that continues to, you'll see there some different items that if you have in your home that they would be very happy to have. We have a sign-up sheet out there in the hallway for those that are, and we're just trying to gauge interest. Just because you put your name on that sign-up sheet, you are not committing to going. We're not going to start putting you in a group email or anything. That's just to try to gauge interest of anyone who might be interested and going to the M28 Church in Atlanta, right? So that's what that's out there. If you feel so led, do that. I have an update for you. You'll see there, I was looking for a church coordinator, someone to help coordinate meals and sunshine baskets. I am happy to report that Lucy Grubb contacted me that next day, or sometime very soon after that, and she is going to serve in that role. So, what does that mean? What that means is that if you know someone in your family or you know of someone in our church family that you think is in a condition that would benefit from having meals brought to them, let Lucy know. Now, it's not Lucy's job to make all the meals. That's not what that position is to do. Her job is to then coordinate with several of us in the church to help figure out who's taking a meal on Monday, who's going Tuesday. That's what that coordinator's job is going to be. So now, if you have that, please let her know. Unfortunately, a few of our families have slipped through the cracks recently. That's my fault. It's just that it's a lot to keep track of, and so Lucy is going to help us do that. So very excited about that. And then last but not least, you see there one of our dear saints. We had that in there last week. I got an email from her daughter the other day, and she said that Catherine was overjoyed with all the cards that you sent. She said it brought so much joy to her to get all those cards and to let me know to then let you know she misses her church family, right? And because of COVID and other things, she can't be here. But thank you all for stepping up. I say this all the time. We do this every Wednesday night. We send lots of letters, lots of cards. A card ministry still has a place in 2022. With even though we have all this technology and all this cool stuff that's going on, receiving a card in the mail with people writing a note on it still has a place, right? So thank you all for doing that. Speaking of cards, I want to read a thank you card for you. This is from Joyce. You know, one of the things, you have really good cursive handwriting, Joyce. I don't read cursive handwriting that much anymore, so if I struggle with it, it's not because of her handwriting, it's because I don't read cursive that much anymore. We, the family of Gary Duvall, want to express our appreciation for all you did for us during Gary's illness. The prayers are what sustain us during the struggle of facing cancer. The outpouring of love shown by those who provided the meal, it gave us time to share fellowship with family and friends. Thank you for all your faithfulness, Joyce. And so that's from Joyce and the family. So thank you all for serving in that way and for your prayers for their family. Now, Mandy's going to come up. She has, I think we have a PowerPoint too. Mandy is extra today. We've got a PowerPoint. Mandy's going to come up and share with us some WMU information. Okay.
So I felt a little bit more comfortable doing it that way. Today is focused on WMU Sunday. In the past, it has been a whole week. So this year, they changed it, and it is just one. So with Rita's promised help, I am your WMU director now. I've never been a director of anything, so I value your feedback, your questions, your suggestions, or anything else you may have for me, as long as it's nice, please. So if it's not, tell Michael and he can tell me. So WMU, the main goal of WMU is to equip you to make better disciples of Jesus who live on mission, telling others about him. And we all do that. It is Women's Missionary Union. However, you'll see that it has men and boys involved as well. So the emphasis from 2020 to 2022 is relentless, and our objective is to be relentless in living authentic faith in Christ. I can't read that. Seeking God in prayer, giving sacrificially, and witnessing to others. And then our watchword for these 2 years is from Hebrews 10:39. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Next slide. So these are some of our missions that we have at Dallasburg right now, just to bring you aware of the things that we do. A lot of them you're familiar with. We have the ladies in the back in the Hallelujah Hallway. Annie Armstrong is coming up in March. Last year, you can see Dallasburg does a fantastic job of giving towards missions. Annie Armstrong will focus on the North American missions. And then we have Lottie Moon. She is our focus for international missions. You can see our giving there. And then Eliza Broaddus is our state missions, which, of course, is for Kentucky. And then also, I wanted to draw your attention, Miss Cindy is in charge of the missions coordinator here. And we do a ton of mission work, and you all should be really proud. It's fantastic. You know, we have been to Gap, we've been to New York City, we sponsor a church in New York City now. The M28, meeting the needs, we do that monthly, Dining with Dignity. The shoebox I left off of here, but the shoebox ministry that we have, I mean, that literally goes around the world to these kids. And then also, we have ladies who go to ARC every week. And then we donate to ARC as well. And those are just a few. We do so much more than that. These are just some of the main ones that I could come up with when I was creating this. So the three main groups that we have here at Dallasburg are Mission Friends, GAs, and RAs. So Mission Friends is for children age 3 through 5. Miss Melissa is the leader for that. It is for boys and girls. Miss Renee does Girls in Action. It is for girls who have completed kindergarten, so grades 1 through 6. And they have camp coming up in June. Normally GA camp is the very last week of June. They've moved it this year, so make sure you make a note of that if you have it usually just saved in your phone as the last week. It's going to be June 14th through the 16th. It's at Glencoe Fairgrounds. We'll be taking a group of girls down. If you have girls that are that age that you know and that you want to participate, please let us know. And then Mr. Brad, he is the leader of the Royal Ambassadors, or the RAs, and those are for boys who have completed kindergarten, so 1st through 6th grade on them. And then after GA day camp is what we call the GA camp, but then the boys actually have a camp and it's overnight. So they'll go and they'll learn about missions, and then they actually will camp out and fish. I think my nephew went last year and fishing was very important to him. So they will spend the night at Glencoe Fairgrounds. Now, normally GAs, RAs, and Mission Friends only meet on the 2nd and 3rd Sunday night. We are not having services yet, but after they resume, all of the leaders are ready and willing to go ahead and get that started as soon as the Sunday night services start. So those are the 2nd and 3rd Sunday nights. All right, and then you may ask, you know, I don't have children who are young enough for that, or I can't go on a mission trip. So we just ask that you pray for missions at Dallasburg. Some of those ways to pray are pray for the ones who are involved to just be engaged in learning about missions, praying for missions and supporting those missions by those offerings that we take up, and doing missions by telling others about Jesus. Pray for the missionaries that we help support and other people that are touched by our mission efforts here at Dallasburg. Pray that the people who are touched are aware and they can see that God's presence and provision in that we do. And also pray for those who don't know God to see him, make their hearts sensitive, and hear about the hope that he offers through all of us at Dallasburg and all of our missions that we do. Brad, do you mind to close us in prayer for the missions?
Dear God, thank you for this time that you've allowed us to come together to church. And Lord, I just thank about the RAs and the GAs, the mission friends, and everything that WMU is doing, Lord. And we're so grateful for that. And thank you for Mandy, who's stepped up into the role as a leader, Lord. And Lord, I just thank about Miss Rita and all the years that she's done. And Lord, just thank you for all the work that she's put into it. And Lord, I just pray that as she kind of helps Mandy through, Lord, you be along beside them and help them grow and help them coordinate these missions. And Lord, I just pray for each mission that Mandy has presented to us, Lord. Just I pray your hand of provision on it, and Lord, I pray blessings upon each one of them. Mm-hmm. Thank you again for this time you've allowed us to gather together as your church. I pray these things to you, God, through Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. You know, while she was giving that, and I love a good PowerPoint slide. I'll be the first to admit, I like some PowerPoint slides. Is that I remember when, and I'll talk about Andrew Perry, my good buddy there, is that when Andrew came to our denomination from a different denomination, I remember him telling him, he goes, man, you guys are always taking up money for something. Like, always, he's like, you're always asking for some type of money. And I'm appreciative for updates like that for you all to see where those funds go. Right? They go to support missionaries. They go to support missions. They go to help people continue to pour truth and knowledge into young people, right? And so it's very valuable, very important. Remember, we're called to be stewards of God's money, and that is a very good way to for God's money to be used to continue his mission. Right, so thank you, Mandy, for that. We continue our Sunday mornings. We've opened up Sunday mornings, and this isn't just for a period. This will be for as long as we want to do it. But for testimonies. And so this morning during my Sunday school class, I got a text message from JT. And JT's like, has anybody else stepped up? And I was like, not yet. He's like, well, I'm in. And I was like, well, all right, you're in. So JT, come on up here this morning. And when you get finished, JT, if you'll just pray for us, and then Lucy will come up and we'll jump right into service.
So growing up my whole life in the church that I grew up in, I was about the only one there that was my age. It went from my age to probably 25 years older than me being there. There wasn't much of a small group opportunity really there for me to get involved in. Not even if there had been, I'm not sure how involved I would have been in after I kind of got out from underneath my mom and dad's thumb or whatever you want to say. I know the last 5 or 6, 7 years that I attended church there, I would kind of slide in the back door just as worship was starting, or maybe a few minutes after it had been going on, Michael. But I'd slide in and sit in the back pew there, and I could slide back out, and I never was really involved in a small group. Jamie and I got together and started dating, and I'd recently accepted Christ as my Savior and really gotten serious about my walk with the Lord. And as we were looking for different churches, we felt like he wanted us to attend church together for sure. And we weren't really sure where God was calling us to. And I remember when we came to Dallasburg to try it out and kind of see what the Lord did with that. And the first time we went into Sunday school, we went up there, Michael's Sunday school class. And, you know, there was 15, 20 people in there. And I'm kind of nervous as a cat, breaking out in a cold sweat. And we're sitting in there. And somebody opened up that morning and shared about something that they were struggling with. And basically my whole life, when I walked into church, you put the smile on your face, you shake the hand, you're doing good, everything, your life's great, everything's wonderful, and you go back home. It wasn't a time to open up and necessarily air your dirty laundry or talk about the skeletons that you had in your closet. And when I walked into that classroom for the first time and somebody was like, hey man, would you all please be in prayer for this? This is something I'm struggling with. I was like, wow, I'm not the only person in the world that struggles with these things. And I remember thinking back to how freeing it was to me to know that my walk with the Lord, I didn't have to be perfect. That I was, there was this process called sanctification that I had to walk through and work through, and that I wasn't expected to have it all together the minute that I accepted Christ as my Savior. And just the way that that Sunday school class and those small group studies have impacted my life and my walk with the Lord. I love being out here in the sanctuary with you guys and the music and Michael's preaching. But man, that core group in that small group, the family that we've been able to develop in there, and you know, there's times that we may not get started with our lesson until halfway through, just sharing with each other of something that's going on in our lives or someone's life that there's a struggle going on. And you know, I've seen us postpone getting started to circle up and pray over people and to lay hands on people and to love on them. And it's just and if you're not involved in a small group study right now or in a Sunday school class, I know Michael beats that drum all the time, and I can't beat it hard enough either. It's been so vital in my life, in my walk with the Lord, to be involved in that. And if you're not, man, I would encourage you to not wait another week, but next Sunday morning, get up an hour earlier and get here. And I can guarantee you that your life will be blessed by that. And I know that my life has, and our marriage has, and our kids have been blessed by their time in Sunday school growing up as well. But anyway, thank you all very much for your time. And join with me, let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now, Lord. Thank you so much for the blessing it is to be here today. And Lord, we do thank you for our Sunday school hour. And God, I thank you for all the teachers that are committed to preparing this lesson week in and week out, and to come and to teach us, and to God, just the blessing it is to open your word and to get real with each other, and to God, see how your word still applies to our lives today, thousands of years later. Lord, I thank you for this time of corporate worship that we're entering into. Lord, I thank you for Michael. Lord, I thank you for using him and calling him, Lord, to lead us and guide us. And Father, I just pray over him now as he comes and brings your word to us. God, I pray that you would help us to steel our minds and to open our hearts, Lord, to whatever he has to say this morning. And Father, we just pray over a time of praise and singing to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would be glorified in all that we do this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'll have to apologize up front because I don't have my glasses. And if I sing some crazy words or whatever, just please bear with me. And you all know the words to all these songs, I know, so let's stand and let's make a joyful noise.
Angels all around.
Psalm 96:10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity this morning to come into your house, Lord, and sing praises to you. And Lord, as we go through this worship service, I pray that you will open our hearts, that they will be wide open to hear your word. And Lord, I pray for Michael as he delivers your word to us this morning, Lord, that we would all hear it, that we would all take it in, and that would keep it in our hearts, so that when we go out into this world, Lord, that we are able to shine for you. There's so many people in this world that are in dark places and don't really know you or have a relationship with you, Lord. Help us to have eyes that see like you do and have love that loves like you do, so that we can share the things that we've been given today with them. And Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his life. I thank you for all that he did here while he was on this earth, Lord. And I thank you for his resurrection and his overcoming death and hell and the grave, Lord, that we may one day be in your presence. Lord, I thank you for this service, and I pray for each one of us as we continue through this service today. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning. Psalm 96:11-13. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to this morning thanking you, Father, for the holy ground that we do stand on, and thank you for all the many blessings you bless us with from day to day. Ask you, Father, to be with Michael this morning as he brings his word, and we might take that word this week and apply it to our lives and be the witnesses that you have us to be. Thank you this time we come to give to you a part of what you so richly bless us with, Father, and pray to be used to your honor and your glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
All right, the kids are headed off to children's church. I always try to remember, and I'm thankful for those that lead us in worship and songs, and I'm even more impressed that Lucy did that and couldn't see. That's even more impressive to me. I mean, I'd be petrified to just do it and not be able to see. You forget about that. Yeah. Those words look completely different than the words that I know. Yes, I would be. Am I? Yes, right. I feel you there, but I'm very thankful for that. And I mean, this is one of the things, and I know Steve doesn't want this. I'm so thankful for Steve. We never notice Steve until maybe the words are a little different on the screen than what we think they're supposed to be. But Steve does a great job back there. He's always preparing other people to learn to do that as well. So I'm thankful for everyone that helps us get ready. If you have your Bibles, flip to Joshua chapter 22. We continue to make our march through the book of Joshua. You see the title this morning. The title, I think one of the hardest things about getting a sermon ready is just coming up with a title. Like, I'm not good at titles, but today the title was kind of straightforward. What we're going to be talking about in Joshua 22, and if you've ever sat through a sermon series or ever sat through a pastor who has preached on Joshua 22, the most common lesson that you would get from that, we'll be talking about jumping the gun. And we'll talk about that some. Right? I titled it that. But I think there's other applications in this scripture than just that, right? And so we'll be looking at some other things too. And so to kind of give you the context of what's going on is that we have the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 tribes of Israel are taking over the land of Judah. But the 12 tribes are not as easy as just that. Two and a half of the tribes, if you remember, two and a half of the tribes had already been given land east of the Jordan, right? And these were given by Moses. And those, if you ever read any material, those are called the Transjordanian tribes, right? Those are the two and a half tribes. We could get into why one tribe's a half, but I'm not sure. That's more for a teaching sermon than what today will be. But so you've got these two and a half tribes have already been allotted their land. Moses has already given them their land, but yet what they've been called to do, and they were called to this all the way back in Numbers chapter 32, they've been called to go out and still fight with Joshua and the remaining nine and a half tribes to conquer west of the Jordan, right? Those are called the Cisjordanian tribes. And you're like, I don't care about that. I get it. Maybe you don't, but that's what they're called, right? And so what we see there, and this is a very clear note for us, is we see the faithfulness of these two and a half tribes. Remember this, right? They're not getting anything out of this, right? They've already been given their lands. Their families are back home on the other side of the Jordan River. They're already living their lives. They're doing what they want to do. So they get absolutely nothing out of going to fight than the western side of the Jordan. Right? They get nothing from that. But yet, they're faithful. And why are they faithful? Well, they're faithful because God, and we see this in Numbers chapter 32, God called them to do that. So they're faithful to what God has called them to do. There's a very clear application in this for you and I, is that you and I are also called to be faithful to Christ. You know, this is one of the things, and this is one of the subjects that we've discussed in many Sunday mornings over the last couple months. When you talk about the book of Joshua, you know, it's a book that's about battles, it's about locations, and there's a very clear message that's woven through the book of Joshua, and that's about warfare and perseverance and sticking to your guns and fighting hard battles and not giving up and moving forward. And that's exactly what we see out of these two and a half tribes doing these things. Now there's a, you know, you guys ever know, seen those Russian nesting dolls where there's like five different dolls and there's one doll? You know what I'm talking about, right? I should have sent Steve an image, but I didn't. But so there's kind of a message inside of a message that I wanted to talk about this morning. And I didn't think this was enough for a full message this morning, but this is something that I wanted to talk about here. So as you have the men and the older, what we would call boys, they would have called them men, off to battle for the two and a half tribes, the rest of their families are at home in their lands, right? Keeping the home fires burning. And it's something that I wanted to talk about for us, and this is something I've struggled with a lot in my life, is that oftentimes I thought I was not doing what God had called me to do because I was not living in a hut in Africa as a missionary. I had a lot of guilt about that, right? And some people could call that conviction. I wouldn't disagree with that. But here's the truth. Just in this situation, you have the men all fighting the battles. You have the wives at home raising and nurturing and keeping the children. Something that I wanted to spend just a minute discussing that is that if you ever feel that way, understand this. And we just had Mandy. This was not planned. Don't ever give me credit for planning anything like that out, right? Just as we were talking about, Mandy was talking about the missionaries. In order for those missionaries to go on mission and do those things, guess what they need? They need funds. They need your prayers. And so even though you may remain at home or in your county, right, you're still serving with them. You're still serving alongside of them. They can't do that without you assisting them, right? Something else that I would slide into that, just because you're not living in a hut in Africa or wherever you think you should, there's a hut at, every day you go to work, you're in the mission field. You're serving in the missions. So not only are you helping to support people that are doing full-time missions, you're also serving as a missionary yourself. And so I think that's a very clear application here. As we have these men all fighting this battle, someone has to be remaining at home, keeping things going. A lot of times that's the role that God has called us to remain and serve our families at home, but to also be good stewards of what God has blessed us with to support international missions. So if you've ever felt that way, it's been that way for a long time. You need people at home helping support people that are out, what we would call, what they would call in the army, the tip of the spear. Someone has to support the other part of that spear as well. But we get back to faithfulness, right? Faithfulness. And this is something that we've been discussing a lot in the book of Joshua, is that we have a problem as sinful people. We have a problem with faithfulness. Faithfulness does not come natural to you, right? This is one of the things, and I'm not sure we've mastered it yet. You know, Meredith is, she's not here now. She left. Good for her. We've talked about with her, is that's one of the things we've had to instill with her, is that whatever you commit to first is what you say you're going to do. You have to be faithful to your commitments. Because a lot of times when you're 18 and things are moving and shaking, and we've got a couple guys back there, I know you guys got a lot of options of cool things to do. But just because something better pops up doesn't mean you drop the first thing you said you were going to do and then you go and do something else, right? That's a problem with commitment. You're not being faithful to what you've called us to. Another application, which is, it's very unfortunate that this runs rampant in our times, is this is one of the reasons why divorce is so rampant today. Is that people don't want to remain faithful. Something better pops up. Something cooler pops up. And they want to go and participate in these other things. They are not faithful. One of the primary ways that you and I are going to have to fight and battle with faithfulness is the world is constantly going to pop things up that look shinier and cooler than Jesus. It happens, right? And we don't want to talk about it. And, you know, if we're trying to be, and I'm, JT, so thankful for your testimony this morning. Transparency, man, it's so important. It's so important. I mean, this ain't a place that we come and act like we got it all together, because you don't. You ain't fooling God, and you ain't fooling us, because we ain't got it all together either. So it's so important to become and be transparent. And so one of the things about transparency is the world sometimes looks shinier and cooler. And be like, man, that'd be cool to go and do that. Or that looks a lot more fun than what, you know, maybe sitting and listening to a guy with a huge beard and a big head talk about something for 30 minutes. Grace, it's okay to laugh. I know what I look like. That's okay, right? She's like, I don't know if I should laugh at that or not. That sounds kind of mean. No, I know what I look like, okay, right? And so the world is going to pop things up at times to where you're going to be like, that looks better, right? Or that looks like that's more enticing. Or that looks like something my family would enjoy more. The truth is this, we have to remain faithful to Christ. And that develops in a lot of different ways. One of the primary ways this is developed in your life is you need to commit and be faithful to church attendance, right? You need to be here. You need to be gathering with the saints. You know, one of the things, and, you know, we've been beating that drum, and JT, I thank you for saying that, because I feel like I do beat that drum pretty hard. You know, we beat that drum of small group study. Studies time after time after time again show that's what helps people stay rooted in a church, in a gathering of like-minded people. Again, I feel like I should define this. Church is you all. It's not this building. We're very blessed to have this building. Very thankful for it. You're the church, right? What keeps people interested in gathering with you and gathering with me are small group studies where we can come and be transparent. Right? Are there going to be Sundays that you miss? Absolutely. Life is going to happen. You're going to go on vacation. Something's going to come up. Someone's going to be sick at home. Those things are going to happen. But one of the things that is very clear in Scripture, I like to say it's hyper clear in Scripture, that Christians should desire to gather with other Christians. And what I would encourage you to think about, Think about this. If you don't have that desire to gather with other like-minded people, it makes it very difficult to think the first part is correct. If you don't gather, if you don't desire to gather with other like-minded people, it makes it very difficult to say you match the biblical definition of a Christian, right? We should desire this with one another, right? I hope your Sunday school class went as great as mine did this morning, right? Online, we had some really transparent discussions. As we gather as the church, are we going to upset one another at times? Absolutely. Forward, you don't have to look so excited about it. Yes, this side is killing me this morning. I was joking, right? We're going to upset one another, right? Something is going to be said. It is just a matter of time, if it hasn't happened yet, that I'm going to tell you something of Scripture that is going to convict you. And you're going to have a choice. You can either be mad at me. Well, that guy with the big head said it. It's okay, Gracie. Right? The guy with the big head said it. Or you can understand it's the Holy Spirit convicting you. Right? Now, the analogy I like to use is this. I'm assuming your all's mailbox is much like mine. The only thing I get in the mail anymore is bills. Right? And when I open that mailbox and there's bills, half the time they're not mine. They're someone else's address. But when they are ours, I don't go out there and try to run the mailman off the road. Simply because he delivered the bills, right? So when I bring you these messages, this is why I am very clear in telling you when something is my opinion versus what something is very clear what God's word says. And God's word is very clear. This is not Michael's opinion. This is what God teaches us in his word, is that we should be faithful to church attendance. We should be gathering with one another. We should want that. We should desire that, right? What else does it look like to be faithful? This is what else it looks like to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, is that every day you're living for him, right? This is something, and I've shared you all with this with my testimony. One of the things in my testimony is I had this model for me for a large portion of my life, is we went to church on Sunday. I was made to wear clothes that were way too tight. I was told to sit there, don't say a word, act like you got some sense, Michael. I wish I had a dollar for every time I'd have been told in my life, act like you had some sense, right? Yeah, you'd be rich. Okay, Irv said he'd be rich. And I was told to sit there for an hour, 2 hours. But when that hour, 2 hours was over, what was I allowed to do? Go buck wild, do whatever I wanted to do within my parents, what they had told me to do. But what they were modeling for me is you go and you act like a Christian, but then you live your life the way you want to the rest of the week. That is clearly not what God calls us to. That is not faithful adherence to what God's teachings are. Guess when you're a Christian? All the time. You're a Christian when you're in the workplace, right? You're a Christian when you're at home, when you're guiding your family, when you're teaching them things of Christ. You are to always act like a Christian, right? It's just not something you play at Sunday morning and then the rest of the week you do whatever you want to do. That is not being faithful to what God has called you to do, right? That's when if we wanted to make this application to these 2.5 tribes, they didn't come and just play at battle. Like, they didn't have, like, just fake swords. And they're like, just hang back, let the other guys go front. We'll just act like we're out here. No, they're in the midst of the battle. They're losing lives as well. They're fighting for the Lord, just like you and I should be fighting for the Lord every day as you live your life on mission. Right? This is one of the things that we're called to, right? We see this. There's, again, like I said last week, there are hundreds of New Testament references I could give you for these. I just picked out two. The first one is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So let's talk about this just for a second, right? You guys ever get tired at work? Of living to the standard of what Christ has set for you? Yeah, the truth is, if you're honest, it's probably a little bit, right? Because the standard you've been called to is very high in Christ. Like what we talked about this morning when we were talking about forgiveness in our Sunday school classes, right? The world will tell you the exact opposite. The world will tell you, you get even, right? That's what, when we were reading about Joseph, right? There's a part of me that wants to tell Joseph, hey, you got it now, buddy. You got him under your control. You get back what they did to you. But that's not what we see modeled in Scripture. It's not what we see modeled in Christ, right? We're called to a higher standard. So we have to always be striving after what Christ teaches, what his example is. And how do we not grow weary of that? We have to call upon the strength of the Holy Spirit. This is something I said in our Sunday school class this morning. As someone who was raised Southern Baptist his whole life, that's something that I always was leery of. I knew this because I grew up in a church where we read King James Version, and it called it the Holy Ghost. And I knew one thing. I didn't want nothing to do with no ghosts, right? I didn't want nothing to do with that. So when a ghost was talked about, I was like, I'm out. I don't want nothing to do with that. But it's one of the things that as God has continued to sanctify me and I've spent more time in Scripture, right, and I understand what the Holy Spirit is and I understand what a blessing it is, that's what you have to call upon to continue to be faithful, to continue doing good. Because here's something else. The only thing good in you is what? It's Christ. That's the only thing good in you. If left up to your own devices, what will you do every time, Avery? Let me answer that for you. You'll do it wrong. You'll get it wrong. Constantly, because you cannot rely upon yourself. Everyone in here this morning, what's the scoreboard say? 66. We'll say it's close to 66, right? 66 of you have this testimony where at some point in your life, you've tried to rely upon yourself. And you know what the result was? What was it, JT? Shipwreck. You had a shipwreck in your life. You have that testimony. It doesn't work out well for you. And so that's one of the things that the applications we have here is we have to continue every day to choose to be faithful. It's not something that's just going to be like, boom, I got it. I am 100% faithful. No, it's something you're going to have to strive after and work after every day, right? I love to talk about this. Why doesn't God... Let's say, I'll pick on Ben for a second. He's making eye contact, right? Lucky you, Ben. Let's say Ben is struggling with patience. I don't know. Do you struggle with patience, Ben? He says yes. He struggles with patience. Everyone does, right? Why doesn't God come down, touch Ben, and give him all the patience? Maybe even the patience of Job, right? Or the patience of Joshua, right? Why doesn't he do that, right? You know why? Because as sinful humans, you won't appreciate it. Right? What do you have to do? You have to learn to grow in this. And so what does God do? God continues to give you opportunities in your life to do what? To grow in your patience. To apply it to this point of faithfulness. What does God do? He will continue to give you situations to where you get to do what? To grow in your faithfulness. You can choose to be unfaithful to God and what he teaches, or you can choose to be faithful to God and what he teaches. It is very clear what God desires for you. He desires for you to choose faithfulness, but he gives you those options. And he gives you those every day to choose that, right? And so that's one of the clear things that we're called to do, is to continue to do good, right? And this is the thing. Don't give up. That was the lesson or the message two Sundays ago, I think. As Christians, we're to be doing what? Always moving forward. Always moving forward. A second example here, this is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I say this all the time to people, is that life is not a sprint. Life is a marathon. And so you have to call upon the Holy Spirit for the endurance to work every day, to keep living your life for the Lord, to stay focused on him. Here's the thing. Are you going to slip up sometimes? Yes. It's going to happen. You still struggle with sin. You have to battle it every day. But the amazing thing is that when you repent and turn away from that sin, God forgives you. And this is something that I probably spent way too much time in our Sunday school class is talking about repenting, right? Repenting means you identify a problem in your life and you turn away from it. This is what I'm going to say here, is that I think one of the biggest problems facing the church today is unrepentant sin. So many of us, we're going to put us all in this big boat together, right, as sinners. So many of us know what's sinful, right? Scripture makes it very clear. We are aware what we know is wrong, but then what do? We continue to do it. So you're living a life unrepentant to what God is teaching. Right? It's a big problem for the church. It's a big problem for you. It's a big problem for me. And that's why Scripture is very clear. We have to continue to choose what is good and continue to be faithful to what God's teaching is. Right? And so we see that model by these 2.5 tribes. And so what happened in Scripture? I'm not going to read this. It's a big chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for you, obviously. So what happens is after these 2.5 tribes, Joshua blesses them. He sends them home. Right? But what happens, right? Right before they cross the river, the Jordan, they build this huge altar, right? And after they build this huge altar, and I'll read this for us here in a second. This is chapter 22, verses 10 through 12. As they build this altar, word gets back to Joshua and everybody else. This is what God's word says. And when they came to the region of the Jordan that is in the land of Canaan, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh that's the 2.5 tribes, built there an altar by the Jordan, an altar of imposing size. And the people of Israel, that's the other 9.5, that's Joshua, and the people of Israel heard it said, behold, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built the altar at the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region about the Jordan, on the side that belongs to the people of Israel. Hear this. And when the people of Israel heard of it, the whole assembly of the people of Israel gathered at Shiloh to make war against them. Right? So, what happened? The 2.5 tribe, they built an altar on Israel's side of the river. As soon as Israel hears about that, they're like, oh, no, 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 not on our watch. Instantly, they're ready to go to war. Right? And so that's why the easy title, the sermon that kind of writes itself today in Joshua chapter 22 is Jumping the Gun. We'll discuss it here in a second. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about here, Israel for sure jumps the gun. Right? They're like, well, let's go kill them. They built an altar. Let's go take them out. Right? We'll discuss why they were wrong here in a second. But before we spend a lot of time looking at the negative, let's take a minute or two and looking at the positive. And this is the second note there. It's really easy to beat up the 9.5 tribes about how they were impulsive and how they were not thinking things through. Like I said, we'll talk about that here in a second. But the one thing that they did right is they understood this. They understood how we worship a holy God matters, right? There's a reason. Thank you, Irvin. There's a reason that if ever at a business meeting, I'm like, you know what we need? We need a fog machine. We need some lasers. I want a big harness. It's going to be a big one. It's going to lift me up in the air. I want to do all this cool stuff, right? Like, if I want to change this into an entertaining thing, that's wrong. Because you know what? Now we're entertaining one another instead of worshiping. The reason I bring that up, I do not suggest you do this, but if you do come across it, pay attention to this. So many of the health and wealth, prosperity pastors, that's what they do. It's an entertainment. They're not worshiping correctly. They're there to make you feel good, just to make you feel good all the time, so you'll do what? So you'll put more money in that, so then they can go out and buy cooler jets and cooler suits and cooler things they do, right? That's what they're doing. That's their motive. And so the positive thing that Israel did here is they understood it matters how we worship, right? We don't want to come here. We don't want to ever turn the church into a social club. We are not a country club to where we just come together and we put on some nice clothes. We look cool for one another. Somebody watches your kid for an hour. You're like, that's great. I get a break for my kids, right? That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to gather with like-minded people to worship and give praise to a holy God. And the 9.5 tribes understood that. Because if you'll remember, the first of Joshua, what did God do to the entire nation when Ashan stole the stuff? They all got punished, right? And so they're kind of like, oh my gosh, they're going to mess this up for all of us. We finally are back on the right track. We're kind of doing things correctly. But they're going to ruin it for all of us by building this false altar, right? God had been very clear. The altar was only supposed to be in Shiloh. That's where the tabernacle was. That's where the Ark of Covenant was. And God had been very clear, that's where you come to worship. But then Phinehas, he's a representative for Israel. He goes and he talks to the 2.5 tribes. And the 2.5 tribes basically tell him this, like, we're not building this as a false tabernacle, right? We're building this as a remembrance so that our children and our children's children